Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In terms of voting, it's not necessarily the case. And there's two initiatives that are working its way through. One is to expand early voting. The other is absentee ballots. It looks like absentee ballots are a little more of a challenge. And I believe both need to go to ballot initiatives and can't be made law through state government. So I want to clear this up with Matt Ritter, the Speaker of the House, who's also my wife, by the way, is a proud Colby grad, too. So that in common. Mr. Ritter, good morning.
How did I miss out?
Brian and Ray, good morning. Well, I'm glad to hear that we have a Colby alum connection here.
So, yes.
And glad to hear that we have no Bowdoin alumni. So.
That's true.
That is great cheese.
Yeah.
Or Bates, for that matter.
Or, yeah, for me, and Trinity for Ray. I'm an Amherst guy, so we can NESCAC it all day, but we won't do that.
Goodness. Well, my sister's Trinity, so I have and the majority of the chief of staff to the president, so I have a lot of affection for Trinity. So.
See? All right.
Listen, let's start with the absentee ballot. You know, I think we had 650,000, you know, obviously COVID-related, did it in this last election. And just clarify, first of all, both of these do have to become ballot initiatives. Is that correct?
They have to be voted on by the voters, correct, to amend the Constitution. So those will occur in November of 2022 for early voting, hopefully.
Right.
Absentee balloting, depending on how many votes we get, could be as far away as 2024 or as early as 2022.
So specifically, what are you trying to accomplish with absentee ballots?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the early voting one, by the way, we'll be voting on today. And so that all needs is a majority vote of both the House and Senate. It goes in 22, and that just is, you can go vote. So, for example, I live in Hartford. There might be a polling place open on a Saturday, for example, for election. Imagine that, having a couple of extra days early, like so many other states do. No excuse absentee balloting is just to say, if you want to vote by absentee ballot, you can. You can go download the form from the Secretary of State's website, mail it in, get your ballot. Now, as we know in Connecticut, it's a very limited amount of reasons for which you can vote by absentee ballot. We're just going to get rid of those. But because it's in the state constitution, it's got to go to the voters. And so we're going to try to be like a lot of other states and give people more options.
Well, as Brian,
and hopefully it'll pass. I'm a big supporter of both.
As Brian just pointed out, 600,000, I think it was, absentee ballots. Those can't be because of the usual reasons. Was there a special COVID thing going on there?
There's no question it was because of COVID. But what it also showed is it did increase turnout in a lot of areas.
It did.
I think for some people, I mean, think about it. If you work two jobs, okay, and you wake up and you have to go to your first job at 6 o'clock in the morning on election day, you get off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your next job starts at 4 and you work till 10.
Yeah.
When are you going to vote? You can't. And under the Constitution, you're actually in your town. Let's say your two jobs are in the town you live in. You actually would be voting illegally if you voted by absentee ballot. Let that sink in. Two jobs, same town, you never leave your town. You can't vote by absentee ballot without violating the Constitution. Now, would you be prosecuted? Probably not. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty restrictive statutory framework in Connecticut.
Right. You know, I'm interested. It really bothers me that it has to be partisan when you talk about verification of absentee ballots, because we all want a secure system. So what can you just explain to me what the verification system to authenticate absentee ballots is in Connecticut?
Yeah, I mean, look, the way it works now is, and I'm trying to think. I voted by absentee ballot maybe once. I don't do it very often. I try to be here for election days if I can. But the way it works now is I would get a form. I can get it from town hall. I can get it from Secretary of State website. I fill out a form, right? And then I sign it, and I send it back to, and I check the reason why I have to vote by absentee ballot, and I send it back to the town clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
They will then make sure information matches up. They'll mail the ballot back to me, right? And then I have to do the, I have to fill out the ballot, sign an inner envelope and an outer envelope. Right. Most absentee ballots get discarded because people forget to sign the inner envelope. And it goes back. You know, and look, I have, there's been so few cases of fraud in absentee ballots that I can think of in Connecticut. The most common fraud is not people using fake names or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's somebody assisting somebody with an absentee ballot. Right. The most prosecutions are, so for example, you can never be near an absentee ballot. You can help someone with the application under Connecticut law. But once a voter has the ballot, unless you are their, you know, their spouse or their caretaker,
right,
if you are in the same room, it is illegal.
So is
it strict in Connecticut?
It signature verification then? The signatures have to match up from your application to your ballot? Is that what verifies it?
You know, I don't know. The problem with the town clerk, right, is I don't know if they actually go and verify the signatures. I know they verify addresses. I mean, you'd have to ask them. Or I also don't know how old some of the signatures are on file that they have. I suppose my signature has changed since I was 18. But that's sort of that argument about signature verification. I mean, we could look at that as things grow. But I've never heard of anyone tell me that they have this influx of absentee ballots that are illegal. Because you would know. Because if you're a voter, if I sent it in, if I didn't send an absentee ballot in, and somehow my name got put on the system as having voted, I'd be able to check that. So there's a lot of precautions that come in, and I don't think that signature verification is going to be a big thing at the end of the day. But if there's ways to do it that are economically feasible and safe, I'm not opposed to that.
Let's go back to this very quickly where we pointed departure here. When we started conversing here, early voting, tell us about that for just a minute. What are you thinking about doing?
Yeah, so today, I mean, the early voting is sort of broad. The question is going to say, shall the legislature be allowed to enact laws that allow for early voting? So the amendment is sort of open-ended just to give the legislature some discretion. And I think what you would see is, you know, probably 14 days before a primary or maybe 30 days before an election, towns offer a couple of days where you could vote early. Could be the Tuesday before, could be the Saturday before.
Okay.
I, for one, think some states actually allow early voting too soon.
You'd agree.
Some allow it very, very early. I would be concerned that, you know, a lot of things can happen in an election.
That's it.
So, you don't want people voting in June for a November election. I'd have concerns about that. But for, say, a November election, I think the thought process would be beginning in mid-September or late September, the same way you can vote by absentee ballot on that timeline,
right,
you'd match the timelines up and say, Hartford City Hall, 3 days in October will be open, and you can go there and cast your ballot. That's probably what we're looking at.
And you have a news conference today on these issues, correct?
We do. I'll be joined by the majority leader and the secretary of state and some advocates to talk about both these bills. And look, well, you know, the most important about the no excuse AB, let the voters pick. We have to get to 75% in both chambers.
Right.
The argument is, well, I don't love it. Well, let the voters decide. So to anybody who is on the fence on this issue, it sort of surprises me, because at the end of the day, we're going to give the voters of Connecticut a chance to figure it out next November, and I think that's worth it.
I'm taking you off into the woods for a minute, but one of the stories that's also cooking is, of course, the 1199 nursing homes, so on and so forth. One impression I got from the CTMirror.org is that, you know, you might be able to pull that off and, you know, give these guys a little more money.
I mean, come on. Let's go back last year, okay, to last March. And think about the individuals who were sent in to deal with this pandemic. No one had any information, nothing. We were so unprepared. We had people in Connecticut and New York and states and in nursing homes dying at such alarming rates.
Right.
And the individuals who had to go into those nursing homes were by and large females. They were by and large women of color.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them live in the city of Hartford that I represent. So I try to be a very middle-of-the-road person. I try to weigh issues very critically, but it's hard not to get passionate when you think about these individuals. And every dollar Connecticut puts in, Ray, the federal government's going to match dollar for dollar into their rates. Mm-hmm. So if we put 15, there's a $30 million pot of money that goes to increase in their wages.
Right.
If they go on strike, it's a $2 million a day in the state of Connecticut.
All right.
A one-week strike. Connecticut's going to pay $15 million to replacement workers, which good luck finding. Good luck finding.
All right. Well,
as opposed to $30 million. It's a no-brainer, and I hope they get there this week.
Mr. Speaker, sadly, we have to go. But it's great talking to you. Thanks a lot for being on with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.